The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, as a father of three children who are now out of the house, I see fatherhood somewhat differently than I used to. Not only do I see myself turning into my father, but I also can see the effect that I have had on my children. Do as I say and not as I do just doesn't cut it. When I see or hear my attributes, positive or negative, in my children's mannerisms, words, and actions, I am reminded of the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That the apple doesn't fall far from the tree is also what Paul reminds us in the fifth chapter of the letter to the Romans. He draws our attention to our first father, Adam, and the dubious inheritance that each of us has received as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Paul also sharply contrasts this inheritance from the first Adam and the free gift which is ours by grace through faith in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. First of all, takes us back to the beginning, to the tree in the midst of the garden. Remember that God, when he created man, created him in his own image. This doesn't mean that man looked like God. What it did mean is that man was made holy, without sin, having a perfect knowledge of God and his will, and having the desire and ability to carry it out. God created man to live forever in his presence. But quite irrationally, Adam chose death. Adam had heard God's command, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." But what did Adam do? Like a child warned to not take a cookie from the cookie jar, Adam broke the command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, Adam indeed died. The basic meaning of the word death in the Bible is separation. Adam experienced spiritual death, the separation of the soul from God in unbelief. Adam lost the image of God. His holiness was gone. In his shame, he hid from God's presence. Adam now became subject to physical death, the separation of the soul from the body. His body grew older and eventually shut down and returned to the ground from which it had been taken. Without repentance and faith, Adam would have faced eternal death. Separation from God in body and soul forever in hell. Just as one bad apple spoils the whole bunch, the consequences of Adam's fall into sin did not come upon him alone. Ever since that fateful moment in the garden, all Adam's heirs have stamped on their souls spoiled goods. Instead of being born in God's image, we read of Adam's prodigy that he fathered a son in his own likeness, in his own image. It's not as if we are born perfect and eventually become corrupted through life in this world. No, we are conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. This inborn sinful condition inclines us only toward evil and makes us God's enemies. As a result of being born sinful, when we read of the record of Adam's descendants a couple chapters later, we hear the sad refrain repeated for each one. And he died. And he died. And he died. This inherited sin is enough to condemn us. As the hymn writer puts it, all mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects them all. From sire to son, the bane descends, and over all, the curse impends. Before the law was given, before the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law of Moses were handed down from Mount Sinai, even before the rules were written down, sin was in the world. And there's only one place where sin leads, to the grave. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, no one escapes death. Paul says it well. Because of Adam's fall, death reigned like a king on his throne, to whom we must all eventually bow. That is how hopeless our condition is, were we left on our own. But God did not leave mankind without hope. He did not discard the rotten apples. Instead, he promised to send the seed of the woman who would redeem us from our sins on another tree, the tree of the cross. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent Satan, and Satan would bruise his heel. Satan would be destroyed. The Savior would suffer and die, but live on in triumph. God so loved the world that he gave his only son as a ransom to purchase back what Adam forfeited. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul recognized this interesting parallel as well as contrast between Adam and Jesus. He calls Adam a pattern of the one to come, but then declares, but the gift is not like the trespass. What Christ gives us is so different, so opposite of that which we receive from Adam. Sure, there's some similarities between the two. Both Adam and Christ are the only two men ever not to have an earthly father. In both cases, their actions had universal effects, but that's where the similarities end. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Adam's sin affects everyone who is ever born, but Jesus' gift is better. It is for everyone who is ever, whoever was born, or ever will be born, and he is born to give us second birth. Adam's sin changes the entire creation, corrupting it, but Jesus makes us a new creation and promises us a new heaven and a new earth. On account of Adam's sin, the ground was cursed with thorns and thistles. Jesus is made a curse and wears a crown of thorns for Adam's sin and ours. Adam's bride, Eve, is taken out of him. Christ's bride, the church, is taken into him. Sinful Adam dies because of his own sin. Sinless Jesus dies for the world's sin. Adam disobeyed God's only command to him. Christ obeyed the entire law perfectly. Jesus ate from the tree and derailed human history. Jesus hung from the tree and set us back on course for eternity. Adam was expelled from the Garden of Paradise, but Christ is preparing mansions for us in heaven. Adam hid in fear of God, knowing he was naked. But in Christ, we need not fear God, for we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. What Adam lost, Christ restored. What Adam polluted, Christ purified. Where Adam failed, Christ succeeded. Where Adam brings death, Christ brings life. Though death was reigning as a king in the world because of Adam's fall into sin, death was a pretender to the throne. Jesus is the real king, and his death throws death off the throne and casts death into the lake of fire, the second death, never to be heard from again. In that garden tomb, that empty Easter grave, death meets its death, and Jesus rises victorious. And by faith, Jesus' victory becomes our victory. This gift of Christ's grace far exceeds what we inherited from our first father. He restores us to life, and in Jesus Christ, we become children of God and heirs of eternal life. His heavenly Father is now our Father. And in Jesus Christ, all blessings are ours. Grace, mercy, peace, life in the face of death, forgiveness in the face of sin. God's gift is greater, far greater than the trespass. Eternal life in heaven. Amen.